Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my wonderful husband, Miko Alon.
Hi guys.
Thank you everyone so much for listening. We have a fabulous show in store for you today. We will of course be opening the show with some political commentary and just some other, just some other banter about what's been going on in our lives, what we've been watching, what we've been doing, that sort of thing. We will be tasting a new vegan product today in the new vegan product section. It's a new vegan cheese by a company called The Honest Stand. This is their smoked cheddar dip. So that should be exciting. And then, of course, we'll be rounding out the show with some vegan animal rights news. Now, before we start, if you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. We both tweet a lot, and we check our Twitter often, especially Miko. You can do that at I am at Vegan Ari, Miko is at Miko Alon, or use the hashtag Vegan Ari Show. I check that too. And of course, if you like the show, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on iTunes. Now, let's get down to some business because this was a very disturbing week in politics. It always is. But this week, there was definitely a couple things that went down that really, really upset me. The first one is this comment by the White House staffer. This was a meeting at the White House this week. I don't know if you guys follow the news, but if you do, you know the story because it was everywhere. This was a comment made by a White House staffer named Kelly Sadler. This was during a meeting at the White House. And just to give a little bit of background, Donald Trump has appointed or is trying to appoint this woman, Gina Haspel, to be the new CIA director. Now, she has a longstanding history of not only implementing torture practices towards prisoners, but also covering it up. And John McCain, our senator, John McCain from Arizona, he has come out strongly against her because he himself was a victim of torture. He was taken as a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. And so he's come out against this appointment. Well, this White House staffer, Kelly Sadler, literally said in a meeting in a room full of people, well, doesn't really matter what John McCain thinks because he's going to die soon anyway. So, because John McCain has cancer. I was so disgusted by this remark. I honestly don't even know where to begin. I do not know what kind of sewer shithouse they are running that they allow this type of language, this type of rhetoric about a U.S. senator who is a war hero, who risked his life for our country, who was taken prisoner, and a Republican at that, okay? And I don't agree with a lot of things that John McCain believes and a lot of things that he's done in Congress, but my God, how do you allow this type of language? And how is it possible that this White House staffer can say something like this with the president there and all these people there, and she's not fired. She's not nothing. It's just a lot. They haven't even apologized for this.
Not only have they not apologized, they are refusing to apologize. And the narrative evolved with the White House, as it always does, to, yes, she said that. No, we won't apologize. And now today to, well, I'm not sure if she actually said that. So we're, again, whenever the White House is confronted with incontrovertible evidence of lying, of corruption, the narrative transforms from, yeah, so what, to, no, that never happened. I mean, we are literally living in 1984. And let's also consider what John McCain actually said. His official statement said, I'm not disputing that Gina Haspel is a patriot. What I'm saying is that her support of torture, her cover-up of torture, makes her morally unfit to be CIA director. Hard to disagree, you know, by anyone on the right. But I think the larger issue here is that obviously this entire White House takes their guidance from Donald Trump, who during the presidential campaign mocked John McCain and said, well, I like war heroes who weren't captured. What the fuck would this man know about that? He is a coward who dodged the draft 5 times during the Vietnam War, said that having an STD was his Vietnam War. And it is astounding to me, especially to watch veterans, conservative veterans, Republican veterans, still debase themselves and bend over backwards in acrobatics you haven't seen since the Olympics, trying to defend this man when he mocks one of their own. I don't get it. They had a three-tour combat veteran Republican on Bill Maher, who was trying to argue that Donald Trump didn't know anything about the corruption and the pay-for-play and the Michael Cohen deals. It's like, please stop at least embarrassing yourself. You can say, you know what, I'm a racist, I'm an idiot, I voted for Donald Trump. Please don't try to pretend that Donald Trump is a good and decent man. Please.
It is absolutely despicable. And I've heard a lot of people use the expression, although it's definitely not a vegan expression, so I'm sorry for using it. But they say the fish rots from the head. And I think this is a prime example of that. I don't know how we've gotten to a point where we allow such despicable rhetoric in our White House of a U.S. senator, of a veteran, of someone who was taken as a prisoner of war. I don't know how we allow this. It is disgraceful. It is despicable. I am disgusted. And like I said, I don't even look, John McCain, like I don't, me and John, I have totally different political ideology, but I would never say something like that.
No, exactly. I think the point is,
or even
that
think
we
something
have,
like that.
We can look at the old school Republicans, you know, who we disagree with on probably every policy position, but we would not argue that they're not patriots. They're not trying to work for the betterment of the country the way they see best. But this orange Jabba the Hutt is the opposite of all of them, and he has corrupted this entire party with his bullshit and his, you know, degrading disgustingness, which comes from the fact that he has been running this joke Trump organization where everyone licks his ass and tells him he's wonderful and he's right about everything. You know, I'm just saying, the judgment of history on this party, on all the people who voted for Donald Trump, will not be kind.
And where, like, honestly, do they have any humanity at all? I had to see Cindy McCain, John McCain's wife, on Twitter say, hey, you know, she tagged this Kelly Sadler woman and said, you know, just so you know, he's got a wife and a family. This is like, you know, this is a real human being you're talking about. It's like, where's your fucking humanity? Like, you know what? Fuck off. Like, I can't believe it. Like, you know, look, what it is what it is. Like, but I just, I feel bad. Like, I do. I genuinely feel bad. Like, I don't think that Cindy McCain and Meghan McCain are bad people. And I think that, you know, I mean, you can't control what people say. Like, obviously, this Kelly Sadler is a complete, like, garbage person. But, like, still, I just think it's, like, when you're going through that, when you're going through someone you love who's battling cancer, to have to hear remarks like that, despicable remarks like that, it is just, it is beneath the office of the presidency. It's beneath our White House. It is so far below where that, I feel like the bottom has dropped out. It is, it is a sewage dump. That's what it is. He has turned the White House into a goddamn sewage dump. It's disgusting. All right. Well, I'm just getting started. So if you didn't like that, you better turn it off now because I'm just getting started. Because the other thing...
Or if you do like it, turn it up.
There's a couple things that happened this week. The other thing that I had to see that enraged me was... I guess the NRA is looking for a new president. I didn't even know that horrible piece of shit. What's the old horrible
Wayne
piece
LaPierre.
Of shit? That old
have,
piece
you know
of
what?
Shit.
He must be succumbing to toxic shock from being so full of shit all the time.
That piece of shit. How long has he been there?
Probably since whenever this hideous organization elected him some decades ago.
All right. Well, anyway, they're looking for a new president, and they're going to have Oliver North be the new president. Now, I don't know if you guys remember who Oliver North is, but I do because I'm a lady of a certain age. And Oliver North was he illegally sold arms in the 80s for President Reagan, and then basically took the fall for President Reagan because President Reagan said, I do not recall, and all that shit. He was involved in the Iran Contra deal, that whole scandal. Okay. He's going to be their new president. He said this week, he's going to, quote unquote, this is what he said, counterpunch the Parkland kids for coming out so strong for gun reform and against the NRA. Now,
oh, he said a lot more than that. He compared them to terrorists. He said that they're civil terrorists who are subjecting the NRA to treatment that black people were subjected to under Jim Crow. I mean, such an obscene statement. And again, there was a time in our country when you would not have targeted child survivors of a mass shooting and called them your enemy. But those days are gone. This is the American right. This is the sewage dump, as you so aptly called it.
Well, I don't understand. All right, this is what I don't understand. After all these students have been through, okay, a mass shooting at their school, having to watch their friends being shot to death, how dare you say you're going to counterpunch them? Fuck you, Oliver North. These kids have been through such a tragedy, and you're going to attack them just for wanting some meaningful gun reform in this country? What a piece of shit. Plain and simple, piece of shit, another garbage person. You know what? He's the perfect person to run the NRA because he's a piece of shit.
Who else could they find? I mean, I read this week that 90% of American gun owners aren't even members of the NRA because they see the organization as so extreme.
Can't even believe, cannot even believe that he would say that. Disgusting. All right, next up, like I said, I'm just getting started. Next up, I had to watch a video, a C-SPAN video, of Representative Maxine Waters, who we all love and adore, who's been calling for Donald Trump's impeachment since he was inaugurated. She was speaking on the Congress floor. They were considering a bill, which of course did not pass in our Republican racist Congress. It was a bill that did pass under Obama, and they were repealing
a law that basically curbed discrimination in auto purchases.
Right, right. So, because statistically, they have proven that people of color pay more when they go to buy a car, that there's discrimination in the deals that they make, and also women, too. So she's giving this speech, and this other representative from Pennsylvania, there was some sort of like kerfuffle or whatever, and, you know, he actually said to Maxine Waters, a woman of color, I believe she's in her 60s or 70s, he actually said, if we're going to make this nation great, he was kind of, you know, alluding to the, you know, make America great again thing. We need to stop talking about discrimination. We need to stop talking about that. This white, again, male representative telling a woman of color in her 60s and 70s, a woman who, when she was a child, probably had separate water fountains, probably had schools that weren't integrated. You're literally telling her that she needs to stop talking about discrimination. I don't know how she mustered the level of composure that she did in that moment, because she should have just gone right up to that man and slapped him. Like, I was like, you know what? This is so appalling that you would actually say that to her, that it's kind of like Cersei Lannister, like, I choose violence. Like, I don't even, like, this is just unbelievable that he would have the gall to say that to her. And of course, she was very composed, and she addressed the main dude running the thing. And of course, he was upset because she was talking to the congressman and not to him. And there was this whole thing. And then she said, I will not yield my time. It was kind of like, you know, reclaiming my time. I will not yield 1 second of my time to you, she said. If you can find the clip, Now This posted it. But it is just so, you just can't believe that someone would say that to her. It is disgusting. It's disgusting. Of course we need to be talking about discrimination. If we don't talk about discrimination, we're never going to move forward in this country. We have to talk about prejudice. We have to talk about discrimination. We need to talk about it openly. We need to have conversations that are uncomfortable. We need to have conversations that really delve into our history as a nation. What are we just supposed to do? Just cover it up? Act like it never happened? Act like there's no such thing as discrimination in our current society? What a fucking joke.
But isn't this just a part of what the right has always done? I mean, remember when they were just trying to say that, oh, the Confederate flag isn't the symbol of treason or slavery. It's just for fine Southern manners. There is this whole attempt to celebrate ignorance of history, rewrite history. And you know what the guy said actually to Maxine Waters was, and I'm sure he thought this was such a brilliant soundbite, you know, we need to focus on the nation, not discrimination. what an idiotic, ignorant thing to say. But that's what Jabba the Hutt's party is all about now.
But I think that these, you know, these three topics that we just covered, I think that this speaks to a larger issue, which is our country has, I mean, the level of decorum in this country has gone to complete shit.
But only on one side, let's be clear. This is not how, and you know, we talk about this all the time, this frustration is that I do think that one of the challenges that the Democrats are going to have is that they're always entirely too civil. They always try to be above the fray, but you can't really be above the fray when your opponents are in the sewer.
Right. They're in the sewer. It is absolutely
disgusting. You need to call them
disgusting.
Out for that. You need to call lies, lies, treason, treason, and fucking bigotry, bigotry.
Like, where's everyone telling Oliver North to shut the fuck up? Like, I would have been like, really, Oliver North? Really? Like where, like, the people on the left need to be saying, you're a fucking disgrace to say this to students who just survived a mass shooting. Fuck you. You know what I mean? And then we need to be saying to this Kelly Sadler woman in the White House, really, Kelly Sadler? You're a fucking disgrace. You're going after a man who was a prisoner of war, who's battling cancer. You're saying, oh, he doesn't matter. Like, he's going to die soon. Fuck you. And then we need to say to this representative who tells Maxine Waters that she can't talk about discrimination? Fuck you!
Let's contrast the substantive meaning of that comment, that whole attitude. He's dying anyway. Who cares what he thinks? Isn't that like saying, who cares what anyone else thinks? What matters is what this White House thinks. You know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, we're all told, you know, on the left, you have to understand the Trump voter. You have to think about why they voted for this. Oh, it was their social anxiety. No, it wasn't. It was their ignorance and their bigotry and their stupidity. And I'm sorry to say it so bluntly, but that's how we're going to start to fix that. And they can take their heads out of their asses and stop voting for the people who have ruined their lives.
Well, you brought up something that there's been a couple articles. There's been a lot of people, you know, in the wake of the fraudulent election of Donald Trump, who've said, like, maybe we should try and understand the Trump voter and what their concerns are and how this happened and whatever. But you actually said that there's been some articles coming out in the last week that said, you know, fuck that. Like, there's actually more people who work in museums than work in coal mines, but we don't obsess over, like, you know, museum workers and how they're doing.
I think the larger point was that the Trump voters want to be understood why they voted for Trump, but provide no such counter understanding to the other side, and that we on the left do not seek to harm people on the right. You know, I'm sure they see it differently because they don't want to serve anyone who isn't a white heterosexual Christian, and they think being forced to, quote unquote, to serve everyone equally in their stores is somehow discrimination.
Right, again, like baking a cake for a gay wedding, right.
If the essence of your religion and your faith is discrimination and hate and what you want to deny to others, your religion, your faith is worthless. Let me just say
I don't even think it's about that because...
But let me just go back to the article. So their point was that what we should be doing is not to say, yes, let's find common ground with discriminators and see where we can tolerate discrimination. Instead, let's stand up with courage for the progressive values that we stand for.
Well, a majority of people actually didn't vote for Donald Trump. I mean, he's got that like 30% that will stand behind him no matter what, as he said, shooting a person in the middle of Fifth Avenue. But that is not a majority of America.
But look at the just to complete on this double standard. Hillary Clinton said that some of Donald Trump's supporters are deplorable racists, right? That was unacceptable. She had to apologize. I mean, it followed her like this, you know, branded mark on her. Donald Trump, every single time he opens his mouth, well, on the campaign trail since he's been president, does nothing but insult people. And these aren't, like, Hillary Clinton's comment was actually quite true.
And he says racist things. So, I mean, he calls other countries shitholes.
So why is making an uncomfortable but legitimate point something that we on the left can't do, but the right tolerates this, you know, disgusting, you know, man and his disgusting throngs in the White House and the Republican Party without any problem?
Well, because on the left, we do have an issue of, I want to just say eating our own. We do.
Or instantly turning and caving in, like Michelle Wolf. So many commentators on the left. Yeah, she should apologize. That was inappropriate.
I know.
I'm glad that she said basically, oh, she's a lady. And she was just like, no, I wouldn't change a word. I would have said something much worse. I would have just said, you know what? In the words of Madonna, fuck you.
We've said fuck a lot on this show today. So if you're offended by language, I'm not going to apologize. Okay. But yeah, no, I think that we are on the left. We have a certain level of responsibility and a certain level or awareness of conducting ourselves in a way that is respectful and that tries not to offend and whatnot. And I think it sometimes works against us because on the right, there is none of that. There is none of that.
There are no standards and there's also no patience.
You know, I'm not going to say that everyone who voted for Donald Trump is a racist. I'm not going to say that because I don't believe that. But a lot of people are. I mean, when you look at the rallies and you look at the signs that they were holding, a lot of people are. And like when you look at the rally in Charlottesville and you look at all of these neo-Nazis who were Trump supporters, you don't see neo-Nazis voting for Hillary Clinton. So I'm just saying, and he himself, I was going to say this earlier, Donald Trump has embodied a lot of racism, you know, from calling countries in Africa shitholes to saying that Colin Kaepernick is a son of a bitch. Come on. Like, to saying that people marching with Nazi flags are fine people. I mean, what Hillary Clinton said about people voting for Donald Trump, that some of them are deplorables and racist. I agree with that.
Well, there is also this thing. If you know that someone consistently makes racist remarks, which no one who watches the news could be unaware of what Donald Trump is doing. You hear the comment about the Nazis and yet you still support him. Aren't you a little bit racist? You certainly tolerate racism. Is there a difference fundamentally between those two positions?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a conversation to be had, but I don't think that everyone who voted for Donald Trump is a racist. I don't.
But they tolerate his racism.
Yeah. Or they look the other way. You know, or they look the other way, which is just as bad. I mean, honestly, it's just as bad. Like, we need to confront racism head on. Okay, and then the last thing I want to talk about before we... I want to talk about a couple things. The second to the last thing I want to talk about is this Iran deal. Donald Trump, against the better judgment of literally everyone in the world, pulled out of our nuclear deal with Iran. Now, I don't really understand all the ins and outs of it, but I do know that when you have like the entire European Union and people in your own administration begging you not to pull out of it because it is something that people feel like is going to help with peace in the Middle East and just, you know, on a global scale. I mean, a lot of people are saying that the only reason he pulled out of it is because it was an Obama thing and he just hates everything and is trying to undo everything that Obama did.
That's absolutely right. And also, you know, the man is so fucking ignorant. As you said, the deal is between the permanent members of the UN Security Council and the European Union. The deal is working. And one of the great beneficiaries of the United States pulling out and Iran now saying, well, fuck that, then we're going to restart our nuclear program. What it does, Trump's action, is that it replaces the sanctions, so that basically curbs Iran's ability to sell oil, and that's a huge benefit to Trump's benefactor Vladimir Putin, who now gets to, you know, reap the benefits of selling Russian oil instead. Again, the right, where is your patriotism? Where is your outrage? How did you become this?
Okay. And then the last thing I want to talk about, which has nothing to do with politics, just a couple things that we watched this week that, you know, I wanted to chat about. The first was that last night, Miko and I watched... This is a totally different subject. This is like completely... Miko and I watched The Rose, starring Bette Midler. I never saw that movie. I've always wanted to see it. You know, you guys all know. Some say love. That's from the movie. I could not believe her performance in this movie. It is a very dark and depressing portrait of a rock star, and it's unrelenting, the film, but her performance was just, I can't believe she was nominated for an Oscar in 1980. I can't believe she didn't win. What an astounding performance, a devastating performance. I mean, I knew that Bette Midler, obviously she's very talented, whatever, but I've never seen her like this.
It's really excellent. It's true. Like, most people know her from these over-the-top comedic performances, which she's great at too. But
what do you mean over-the-top? Nothing over-the-top about Bette Midler.
Oh, really?
No.
Ruthless People?
I love Ruthless People.
You don't think it's a little over-the-top?
I love it.
Like I said, over-the-top performances.
Don't you come for Bette Midler. Not on my show.
I am trying to compliment her incredible range.
Oh, okay. But anyway, that was really good. The other thing is that I'm giving up on The Handmaid's Tale. I'm sorry.
I am not.
That's fine. You can watch it. But I'm telling you this right now. We are 4 episodes into the second season. And to me, this has become oppression porn. And I'm done with it. I don't want to feel this way. Like I said this about another show. I forget which one. Probably the Versace show. I don't want to feel this way at 9 o'clock at night after my day at work, after I've had my glass of wine. I did love the first season, but I thought we were building up to something this season. And it seems like this season is just going to be like a redux of the first. And I don't have the patience or the tolerance for it. I'm sorry. I'm giving up. You let me know if it gets better. But I just right now I can't.
I will report back.
All right. Okay. Well, I feel like I need to do some fire breathing after that opening. Lots of outrage. Okay. So maybe, you know what'll make me feel better? Vegan cheese. So let's get into some new vegan products and let's taste this new vegan cheese.
Let's do it.
Yay, new vegan products. Okay, so today we are tasting a new vegan cheese. I know, so exciting. By this company called The Honest Stand. This is their smoked cheddar style dip. Now, Miko and I were perusing in Whole Foods yesterday and came upon this new vegan product. It is made from, get this, the first ingredient is potatoes. So it's potatoes and cashews, and then there's like some flavorings and stuff. So I've never made a vegan cheese. I mean, I've never bought a vegan cheese in the store made from potatoes, but it's organic, it's gluten-free, they say it's low calorie, all this stuff. So we're gonna taste this stuff right now. And Miko has these lovely pretzels. Hold on just a minute. First, I'm gonna taste it.
Let's see. That's very creamy and nice.
I'm crunching. I'm very sorry. Hold on. It's got an interesting aftertaste. Like it's almost like a, what's that aftertaste, Miko? It's like, it's definitely cheesy. I don't know. This is good though. This is really good.
I think it starts smoky, but then becomes more cheddary as it
finishes. There's definitely an interesting aftertaste. The texture is kind of like hummus.
A little bit creamier than hummus, but yeah.
And I would almost like argue that you could heat this up.
I was just going to say, this is probably even creamier if you heat it up. There's a recipe in the inside of the lid for kimchi fries.
Wow. Yeah, this would be good for, to do like cheese fries or something. But yeah, I don't know what's in here that's giving it that cheesy like after flavor, but it's really good. By the way, it says on the packaging that it's a Colorado-based company. It looks like a smaller company. They had a couple other varieties of cheese at Whole Foods, but this is the one that we picked up and I think this is pretty good, but this is more like a dip. This isn't like a cheese that you would, you know, put out. Like, it's not like Miyoko's or one of those things. This is like something that you would have with like a crudité or some, you know, crackers or some pita and you would dip it. It's almost like I said, the consistency is kind of like hummus.
Might be the vinegar in the recipe that gives it that tang in the end.
Yeah, no, it's really good. We also bought, we're not tasting it today, but I'm excited to try it. There's a company called, what's it, Bitchin' Sauce? Is that what it's called? Bitchin' Sauce? Bitchin' Company? I don't know.
They make Bitchin' Sauce.
Yeah, have you guys seen that Bitchin' Sauce stuff? Well, anyway, that stuff is very good. I love Bitchin' Sauce. It's like a, I don't know how to describe it. It's made from almonds, and it's also like a dip. It's like a hummus dip. They're now doing a spinach artichoke dip. that I think is going to be amazing.
If I'd remembered that we had it, I would have brought it up now.
Why don't you bring it up? Go get it. I'll talk about some shit while you go downstairs. What do you want? What should I talk about? Other vegan cheeses that we like? All right. I'm going to vamp. That's what we say in theater. I'm going to vamp while Miku gets this other dip, because why not try it at the same time? So other vegan cheeses that we love, obviously Miyoko's. Miyoko's is like the gold standard of vegan cheese. I do like tree line cheese. That's also widely available and comes in a variety of flavors. Those are, you know, those are more like fancy lady cheeses that you would put like on a cheese plate or whatever. If you're looking for cheese slices, vegan cheese slices, the top notch are Follow Your Heart. The VioLife cheeses are amazing. And then also the Chow cheeses by Field Roast are incredible. So good. And then there's like, you can even buy like shelf stable mac and cheese stuff. Like Daya makes their white Alfredo mac and cheese that's very good. Amy's has a vegan mac and cheese that's very good. So, you know, you hear from people all the time like, oh, I could go vegan, but I could never give up cheese. Like, girl, fuck that noise. There's so much amazing vegan cheese on the market. Like, you can definitely get the same flavor and that whole experience of eating cheese without, you know, dairy. And also, you can make cheese. Like, Miko makes the most incredible vegan cheeses. We have Miyoko's vegan cheese cookbook, which is fabulous. We have another cookbook called The Uncheese Cookbook by Joe Stepaniak. That's very good. There's the non-dairy, what is it called? The non-dairy formulary, which the photos in that book are not so good, but I've heard that the recipes are great, so you can do it. Okay, Miko is back. So I don't know what this company is called. What is this company called? This dip is nuts? Is that the name of the company? I think that is the name of the company. So the name of the company is This Dip is Nuts. They're the ones who make the bitchin' sauce. This is their spinach artichoke dip. It's also made with almonds and coconut. That's their two big flavors. So let's taste this now. Okay. I'm excited.
Here we go.
All right. Ready? Oh, wait. Hold on.
Mm. Wow.
Mmm. Oh, yummy, yummy, yummy. Oh, my God. That's delicious.
Has a bit of a kick in the end.
I'm not getting any spicy. Oh, yeah, I am. Ooh. Okay, girl.
It takes a moment.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, my God. All right, I like this better. Okay, this is, like, cheesy and lemony and I must choke. And delicious. This is great. Their products are amazing. I love their shit, but this is delicious. There's spinach in here. It's very, like, reminiscent of, like, an old school, you know, artichoke dip. Mm. That is great.
That's an A+. And their bitchin' sauce, both the original and the chipotle, are both stunning.
That bitchin' sauce, I love. I love it. But this is a definite, definite A+ and a lovely companion piece.
And
if I do say so myself.
I will just warn you, I could see myself eating half of that right now and being like,
that's what I'm saying.
I won't apologize for it at all.
Maybe you will. I mean, I don't know. Like, between this and the Honest Stand, I definitely prefer the spinach artichoke, but the Honest Stand is good too.
It's good, but that's a much more subtle flavor, I feel like. This is a very bold,
yeah, this is in your face. Exactly. This is like right in your face. I love it. All right. Well, I mean, I love chips and dips.
I was going to make a joke, but it's bad. You want to hear it anyway?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
It's like the spinach artichoke dip is Bernie Sanders and the Honest Stand is Hillary.
Oh.
Both excellent. One a little bit more bold.
I hate to bring this to everyone's attention, but you voted for Hillary in the primary. I voted for Bernie.
And you know what? And I don't apologize for that. I love Hillary Clinton. But I wish that she had just had the courage of her convictions to really speak her mind and not be so concerned with appealing to everyone. Mm. Just, you know, be true to your progressive values. But like I said, both excellent, one just a bit more bold.
All right. Well, with that, let's get into some vegan animal rights news.
Let's do it.
Okay, everybody, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. A breaking undercover expose at Maple Lodge Farms in Canada. This was at a chicken breeding facility. These are chickens that are going to be used for meat. This was such a harrowing, the video footage was so harrowing. Just these poor baby chicks being tossed like they were like little objects, just tossed and thrown and ground up alive if they're not seen as viable. Birds with like their insides out. Like it was, I'm telling you, this was so disturbing. We exposed baby chicks ground up alive in macerators, roughly dropped into machines, viciously killed by having their necks smashed against the metal edges of factory equipment, dumped into baskets and left to suffer for hours before death. I mean, this is, when you look at this footage, you just, it really disturbs you and it's just really upsetting. And this is the reality behind your, chicken sandwich or the chicken strips on your Caesar salad or your chicken fingers. This is where this shit comes from. And it's just very upsetting to see baby animals treated with just such disregard for their suffering. It's so sick and sad. But I am hopeful that this video will change hearts and minds. And I don't know, maybe Maple Lodge will do something about the welfare of these birds. It's just
what's the
terrible.
Initial response been?
I mean, I haven't really heard anything. I don't know what their initial response has been, to be honest. But this is really, really upsetting footage. I encourage everyone to go to the Mercy for Animals Facebook page or the Mercy for Animals YouTube, find the video and share it. Show people where chicken comes from. It's not cute. Show them. Okay, next story. And let me just say this too. I just want to give a shout out to the Mercy for Animals Investigations Department. They are the bravest, I feel like, people I work with. These are people who literally risk their safety, taking this footage and getting it out into the world. It's really, the Investigations Department at Mercy for Animals is just doing groundbreaking work, and so hats off to them and all the stuff that they do. It's just, we would never know. We would never know how animals are raised for food if it wasn't for activists. They do not show the public, I'm going to say they, factory farmers don't show the public what goes on. That's why these places are windowless sheds in the middle of nowhere. They don't want you to see how animals are being abused before they're, slaughtered and sold in supermarkets. So it's a vital public service, but it also takes a lot of strength and a lot of bravery. And so I just want to applaud them. Okay, next story. Forbes magazine covered a recent study that showed that vegan products outsell their meat counterparts when placed side by side at supermarkets.
Interesting.
Now, this was done looking at the Beyond Burger. When the Beyond Burger first came to market, Beyond Meat made a deal with Whole Foods that it had to be sold in the meat case with the meat. And what they found is when it is sold that way, the vegan product outsells meat. I think this is like amazing that so many more people want to choose the plant-based meats over the animal-based meats. I think
it's
this is
the future.
Yeah, I think this is really promising. And how I feel about that Beyond Burger. I have very strong feelings. I love that Beyond Burger and I love the Beyond Sausage too. I love their stuff. And so it's not surprising to me because, it is surprising that there are so many people out there just who are willing to, who want the plant-based stuff. Like even people that are not vegan, even people that are not vegetarian, I think it's awesome. I think it gives me a lot of hope. Okay, next story. Chef Matthew Kenny is opening his 15th vegan restaurant. Did you realize he had 15?
No.
So he has, in LA, he has Plant Food and Wine in Venice. I can't believe we still have never been there. People rave about it, but I don't go to Venice, girl. It's going to take me a lot to get to Venice. I'm not the biggest... Sorry, I know that we have listeners that live in Venice. I'm thinking of you, Jason Stefanko. And I don't know. I just don't really love Venice. It's like not really my vibe. It's far from where we are. And the parking is just horrendous. But anyway, Plant Food and Wine is supposed to be fabulous. And so I would be willing to make a journey to Venice for that restaurant. Now, I didn't realize he had 15 other restaurants. He also owns Double Zero in New York, the pizza place.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, the place he's opening, the 15th restaurant, it's called Kanu. And it's his first restaurant in Canada. And it's a menu that will blend some of his classics as well as new dishes made to cater to the local Canadian community. Hmm. He also recently opened a Japanese-inspired restaurant in New York City called Arata. And he's looking to open Double Zero in Los Angeles, lucky us, Boston, Philadelphia, and in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
I believe Silver Lake would be an excellent location for Double Zero.
Well, don't open it in Venice or we'll never go there. No, I will. We will. We will. Well, you know what? Let's make a deal with each other that we will go to Plant Food and Wine in the next couple months.
Okay.
So by Independence Day, we will have gone to Plant Food and Wine.
Okay.
All right. I'm holding you to it. All right. Next story. Cultured meat is going to be worth, this is, I don't know, this is a marketing firm that did this. They discovered... They feel like it's going to be worth $20 million by 2027. So in another 9 years, clean meat will be worth $20 million. I think it's going to be a lot more than that.
I think so, too. Seems like a very low
girl,
estimate.
Girl, I think they are lowballing this shit. Yeah, because guess what? Like, this shit's going to take over. They're crazy. And there's so many... I have a story later about it. There's so many innovative things going on in the clean meat space. It's going to be worth a lot more than $20 million. 20 mil is nothing, girl. It's going to be worth like $2 billion. Or maybe $20 billion. Not 20 mil.
Yeah. That's a very conservative estimate.
Yeah. No, I think that, I don't know. There's also like they talk about in this article, this is from Veg News. They talk about there's clean meat, you know, pet food too, that people are working on. So that would be, I mean, clean meat, cat food, girl, game over. If that happens, I'm going to be the happiest cat daddy. I hope that that happens. We'll see. But yeah, they're undervaluing. And I hope that, you know, there's people that have said that this is going to come to market sooner rather than later, like in the next like 3, 4, 5 years. So we'll see. Okay, next story. IKEA's vegan hot dog is going to launch in the US by 2019. Did you even know they had a vegan hot dog?
I did know that, yeah.
Where is it? In Sweden?
Yeah.
Is it in Finland too?
Probably.
Wow. Well, I am excited for their vegan hot dog. It has a 95% customer approval rating. Of course it does. I mean, it's, you know. And yeah, I mean, they already have the vegan meatballs here.
We should also go and try them out.
You know what? I would love to go to IKEA. I really like IKEA. I have so much fun in that store. I'm like... all up in it. I'm like all up in the model rooms. I love it.
We haven't gone to the new IKEA in Burbank. Or has it opened yet?
There's a new one?
What
happened to the old one?
The iconic location is closing. I think they're opening a bigger one.
A bigger one? The other one was so big.
Yeah, but there's a new IKEA coming.
Well, we should go to IKEA and we should do lunch and then we should go shopping. I love it. Okay. Next story. This is what I was talking about earlier, just a few minutes ago, about like the innovation. Israel, again, there is a new company that has, or, oh, sorry, not company, ahead of myself, group of scientists who have developed a machine that can 3D print and cook vegan burgers.
Mm.
I mean, they said it can be done in 3 minutes.
It makes a finished burger that's cooked in 3 minutes?
It 3D prints the fucking thing and then it cooks it. In 3 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, I don't even know what to... Okay, the machine that they invented, it's called Chef It. And it's... I don't know. I'm reading... The machine is loaded with plant-based ingredients, and then it somehow prints the thing, and then it cooks it. I mean, now you remember the story last week from the Israeli company that wants to 3D print steak.
Yeah.
But that's a clean meat thing. This is a vegan burger. It's like a veggie burger. I don't understand how the 3D printing works. Have you seen that in action?
I haven't seen it in action, but I have a 3D printed replica of the model of the house we built for the Long Road Home from the art department. They gave me one as a gift.
Your art department had a 3D printer?
Yeah.
Really? Did you ever see it?
I don't think I saw the printer, but I saw the models that they made. And
it's fascinating. I mean, I guess if you have a... I don't even understand how it works exactly, but I guess you can put whatever you want in it, and then it can build...
Well, I think they're calibrated to different things. I'm sure food 3D printers are different from the ones that make, like, wall pieces or things like that.
I don't know. I think this is fascinating. This kind of, like, one step closer to, like, Star Trek, where you have that... and they had, like, on the ship on Star Trek, they had, like, a food generator, and you just tell it whatever you want, and it just, like, makes it for
and
you.
And it's plant-based.
It is. Well, everything in the Star Trek world, they don't eat animals anymore. I love them. I mean, I love Star Trek, but I love that about Star
Trek. We should watch Star Trek 6, where they specifically address that.
Mm, it was fabulous. Okay, next story. Kim Kardashian. Ugh, I know, but I have to do it. Sorry, everybody. All right, Kim Kardashian has been talking on her socials about how faux fur is her new thing. She's been promoting fake fur. And, you know, Kim Kardashian for the longest time was like the biggest fur hag. I mean, she was flower bombed. She was, you know, she was the worst in terms of fur. Now she's doing fake fur. And I honestly, look, I honestly don't... I don't want to... Maybe she has had a change of heart. Maybe she's opened her eyes. Maybe. But I honestly think this is like following a trend of all of the major designers recently who said that they're not going to be doing fur. I mean, Gucci's not doing fur. Versace's not doing fur. This has really... Donna Karan isn't doing fur anymore. Like, this has been a major trend in the last like year or two of major designers moving away. And I think she's just following the trend. Now, I will say, like, again, the power of influence, the power of celebrity, I think it's great that she's talking to her fan base about fake fur and about, you know, the fact that she's not wearing real fur. I think that's important. But I don't know. There's something about, like, giving Kim Kardashian too much credit that doesn't sit well with me. But, you know, it is good. I mean, don't you think?
Yes.
Okay. And then my last story, also in celebrity news, Chef Jamie Oliver is ditching meat for his 5-day veggie challenge as part of National Vegetarian Week, which is next week, May 14th through the 20th. And he's encouraging participants to swap out meat for fresh veggies. He's providing recipes. Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, I kind of feel like Jamie Oliver should just be vegan all the time, but I think it's good that he's promoting National Vegetarian Week. I didn't even know there was National Vegetarian Week next week.
Yeah, we should take a look at the recipes and report back.
Yeah, now it doesn't say vegan. So I don't know if like these recipes are going to have a bunch of cheese in it or eggs in it or whatever, but I still think...
Yeah, it's
like
quiche. Cheese dip. Right. Yeah, great, thanks.
But I still think, you know, to have major like well-known chefs like him and who was the guy, Gordon Ramsay, who recently said he was trying vegan or whatever. I think it's very hopeful and inspiring because these are people who dictate major trends in the food world and who people look to. And I think that's great that they are validating, you know, plant-based eating in this way.
And didn't Anthony Bourdain go vegan also?
Girl, are you crazy?
I think I read that.
No.
And not permanently, but like, let me read that. Hold on.
No, Anthony Bourdain did not go vegan. He might have said something about something he ate that was vegan that he thought was like not so bad, but he didn't go vegan. I can't stand him. Anthony Bourdain, now this was many years ago, but he literally called vegans the Hezbollah of vegetarians or something. Like it was some awful quote. Like that. It was basically comparing vegans to terrorists. I think it was in the New York Times or something like 10 years ago. And I don't know. He also eats everything and anything. He's like,
what? He said vegetarians and their Hezbollah like splinter.
Yes.
Cell.
Yes, that's right. That's what I'd say. I knew it. Yeah, I don't think he did. You find anything?
Yes.
What he ate? He ate like a vegan cookie or something,
he
right?
He ate the Impossible Burger.
Oh, okay. And what did he say?
Let's see. Let's see what he said. He's probably going to be a douche.
Oh, no. I think he said if all burgers tasted like this, or what did he say?
Let me see. Oh, okay. He said a lot of people are talking about the Impossible Burger, this lab-grown meat substitute that's being served in trendy restaurants. Have you tried this? He said he called vegan self-indulgent because he's a fucking idiot. I haven't. Look, there's a lot of hungry people.
He's not Donald Trump. He's Anthony Bourdain.
Same douchey personality. Look, there's a lot of hungry people in the world, and it's a means of providing must-needed protein. I guess I'm all for it. That's not
I guess I'm all for it.
Guess I'm wrong. I guess he. I'm sorry. So sorry for misrecalling. He's still a complete douche.
No, he. I'm not a fan. Okay. Well, with that, Miko, we've come to the end of another show. I want to thank everyone so much for listening. Again, if you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. I am at Vegan Ari. Miko is at Miko Alon. Or use the hashtag Vegan Ari Show. And if you like the show, consider leaving us a review and subscribing on iTunes. And if we don't hear from you during the week, we will chat with you next weekend. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
At first we started out real cool, taking me places I ain't never been. But now you're getting comfortable, ain't doing those things you did no more. You're slowly making me pay for things your money should be handling. And now you asked to use my car.